KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, fog, areas of fog anyway, at 33 degrees. We look for it to be partly to mostly cloudy today, a high of 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In state news, authorities have charged a driver whose school bus crashed into a house in central Iowa. The Des Moines Register reports 42-year-old Anthony Banks of Des Moines has been charged with failure to maintain control of his bus. West Des Moines police say that vehicle veered off the road Monday, went through several yards, hit a truck parked in a driveway, and only stopped when it hit a house. None of the 11 children on board was hurt. Lieutenant James Barrett said Banks was driving too fast in the slick conditions. Up to 3 inches of snow had fallen in the area Sunday night and Monday morning. And online court records do not list his attorney or other information pertaining to Banks' case. News time is 8:01.
Your spouse is frustrated, and you're not sure what you've done to warrant the cold shoulder and snippy retorts. At work, it seems like everyone else has a handle on the new project and is forging ahead, but you're struggling because you didn't quite catch the details on what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you feel left out when everyone in your coffee group laughs at the same time, but you don't get it. Did you miss something? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I hear these stories as patients finally come to the realization that they're missing out. The unfortunate part of the story is that I said finally. For whatever reason, many people believe that their difficulty isn't that big of a deal, or it's because of the actions of others. They mumble, they don't look at me when they speak, or any of a number of other excuses. But what they don't realize is that it's their hearing that's the problem. The sooner they take action to correct it, the shorter the rehab process will be, and the sooner the frustrations will fade. It starts with a simple evaluation. Call ASI today, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Well, the Cass County Sheriff's Office on Thursday released a few more details on an accident that happened early Wednesday morning. As we told you on that day, the accident happened around 5:35 a.m. Wednesday near the intersection of Highway 71 and Interstate 80. Officials said it happened when a semi-truck struck a pickup truck that had attempted to turn onto the eastbound I-80 ramp. The 2005 Peterbilt semi, driven by 48-year-old Richard Goldenson Sr. of Savannah, Missouri, was northbound on Highway 71 when it hit the 2007 Chevy Silverado pickup, driven by 36-year-old Jason Redfern of Omaha. That happened as Redfern was traveling south on 71 and attempted to cross northbound 71 in order to get onto the eastbound I-80 on-ramp. Redfern, who was later cited for failure to yield upon making a left turn, was transported to the Cass County Hospital by medevac ambulance. Damage from the accident amounted to $22,500. Later that same day, Cass County deputies responded to a single vehicle accident that occurred on Lansing Road, about one half mile west of 690th Street. Officials say at around 12:30 p.m., a 2002 Chrysler driven by 69-year-old Lita Thompson of Cumberland was traveling west on Lansing when the vehicle hit some frozen slush on the road. The car slid sideways into the south ditch and crossed over a farm drive entrance before coming to rest. There were no injuries reported. Damage was at $3,500 and no citations were issued. A Claremont woman learned a hard lesson early Thursday morning when she went to bail out an allegedly intoxicated friend from the Montgomery County Jail. Officials say 33-year-old Clothilda Dawn Kales was arrested after a receptionist at the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center detected a strong odor of alcohol coming from the woman. Kales had come to the jail to bail out another woman, but the jailer could only release an intoxicated prisoner to a sober adult. Kales blew a .093 on the breathalyzer test, which is, of course, above the state legal limit. Both women were then being held in the Montgomery County Jail pending an appearance before the magistrate. A meeting held Wednesday evening here in Atlantic was the last step prior to a vote over the reorganization of the Exira and Elkhorn-Kimbleton school districts. The public session took place at the Atlantic High School and included patrons of both districts as well as the board of directors of both the Heartland and Green Hills area education agencies. The boards had received written notices from property owners, some of whom objected to having their land included in the proposed reorganized district, but the AEA boards rejected most of those objections. They also heard from a few persons who sought to dismiss the petition entirely for the new district. Exira EHK Superintendent Dean Schnoes said there were many varied reasons for those objections that had been received, such as those from families whose students had already open enrolled out to another district.
So they were looking at moving their land that way. There were some comments in there that these people thought they could get a better education up there at Audubon. There was suggestions in there that they already had other land in the other district, so they just wanted to move the rest of their land in with the district.
Schnoes said some people thought the administrations in other districts were more dependable and reliable. But when attorneys for the districts demonstrated before the AEA boards how the two districts have shown constant growth as far as financial stability and the leadership that has students heading in the right direction, that served to convince the boards to the decision that reorganization was correct and the best one for the students.
And I think the attorneys for the two school districts did, you know, a real nice job about talking about we have two school districts that are very well matched and all that, and to have land moved out or to even have the petition completely dropped would really hurt the two districts within the next couple of years or even down the road.
Snow said he was very pleased with the turnout of the meeting and the level of support the proposed reorganization has received, especially when presented before the AEA board members.
Now, these two communities really need to feel very proud and all that, because we had a lot of different people that got up and showed their support either by being there. We even had some people that went up and talked about the support. Really, it all came down to the people talking about our students and how our students have meshed together. We even had a student who talked on behalf of the student body. We had business people that were there. We had community members that were there, the teachers, the staff, parents. It was just a really great showing that we have good communities here that want to see these two districts succeed so that we can continue providing quality education for students.
And a vote on the reorganization of the Exira EHK school districts will take place on June 25th. A group of about 18 students from across the state released their recommendations Thursday on state education reform. The Iowa Learning Council began its work 1 year ago, holding many of its meetings online. Lillian Nellens, a senior at Des Moines Roosevelt, talked about the goal of the report.
Iowa used to be a national leader in education policy, and we students think it's time that we reclaim that role. Thus, we really recommend throughout the page that we look to the power back to the classroom and personalizing education for Iowa students, focusing most of our sections on the three T's, teachers, testing, and technology.
Jack Hostegger, a 10th grader at Dubuque Hempstead, talked more about the recommendations.
We believe that the solution to this problem lies in six basic ideas: enhancing teacher quality, revolutionizing assessment, individualizing and adapting the curriculum, fostering meaningful student-teacher interactions, improving STEM for all, expanding online classes and career exploration in high school.
And the Iowa Learning Council is one of many groups that have given their input as the state looks to revitalize the education system. The students were asked which of the six ideas they would most like to see move forward as their plan comes under scrutiny from lawmakers. Hostegger said he thinks teacher quality is an issue that is key to improving education, adding that improving education starts with those who facilitate it. Nellen said revolutionizing the assessment process for educators is a key part of improving teacher quality. She says lots of the recommendations are focused on statewide uniform policies.
And that's a lot of our recommendations are focused on statewide uniform policies that all the schools could implement. You know, for example, we talk a lot about expanding the online education classes, because we had members in the group from rural schools. They're like, I get to take the same classes you're taking in these big urban schools because of this online opportunity.
The full recommendations are available for you to view on the Iowa Department of Education's website at www.educateiowa.gov. Among the many other students on the Iowa Learning Council is Hannah Ritchie, who is a freshman from Shenandoah. And officials at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic have announced some additional work is scheduled to occur in the new inpatient services area of the hospital. According to Pat Markham, CEO, the zero-entry showers in the medical, surgical, and intensive care patient rooms are not containing water as intended. Markham says they became aware of the problem immediately upon occupying their new patient rooms last summer. And she says since that time, we have been working with the design firm to arrive at an agreeable resolution to the problem while utilizing temporary measures to prevent falls. And they are now going to proceed with the necessary changes to eliminate the safety risk. Markham said the process will at times be loud and potentially disruptive to patients. Four patients' rooms at a time will be taken out of service, two for repair work, and one on each side to help buffer construction noise. Additional steps will be taken to reduce the noise for patients, including providing noise-reducing headphones and earplugs. Markham said they apologize for the inconvenience, but in the interest of patient and staff safety, they have to move forward with correcting that situation. Hospital officials will continue to negotiate with the design firm to determine financial liability for the corrective measures, the work for which will begin on Monday, March 18th, and is expected to be completed by December 31st. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, another Carnival cruise ship is having problems. The Carnival Legend has canceled a stop in Grand Cayman and is heading back to the port of Tampa after the company says a technical issue began affecting the ship's sailing speed. Passengers on board the Carnival Dream are being flown home because of problems with an onboard generator while it was docked in St. Martin. And last month, you may recall, the Carnival Triumph spent 5 days in the Gulf of Mexico without power or any working toilets. Pope Francis is paying tribute to his predecessor Benedict, saying his faith and teaching had enriched and invigorated the Catholic Church. Francis offered the respects during an audience today with the cardinals who elected him to succeed Benedict. A shipyard worker who set fire to the USS Miami because he wanted to go home is expected to plead guilty to charges today. Prosecutors say Casey Fury admitted setting fire to the nuclear sub while it was in dry dock at Portsmouth Naval Shipyard in Kittery, Maine. He could get up to 19 years in prison. And U.S. Senator Rob Portman said that he now supports gay marriage. The Ohio Republican says in an op-ed piece in the Columbus Dispatch that he had a change of heart after learning in 2011 that his son, Will, is gay. News time is 8:11.
Your spouse is frustrated, and you're not sure what you've done to warrant the cold shoulder and snippy retorts. At work, it seems like everyone else has a handle on the new project and is forging ahead, but you're struggling because you didn't quite catch the details on what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you feel left out when everyone in your coffee group laughs at the same time, but you don't get it. Did you miss something? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I hear these stories as patients finally come to the realization that they're missing out. The unfortunate part of the story is that I said finally. For whatever reason, many people believe that their difficulty isn't that big of a deal, or it's because of the actions of others. They mumble, they don't look at me when they speak, or any of a number of other excuses. But what they don't realize is that it's their hearing that's the problem. The sooner they take action to correct it, the shorter the rehab process will be, and the sooner their frustrations will fade. It starts with a simple evaluation. Call ASI today, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements, Sharon Grimm, age 70, of Manning, died Tuesday at the Manning General Hospital. Services for Sharon Grimm will be today at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning is in charge of the arrangements. Dwayne Jensen, formerly of Atlantic, died March the 7th in Arizona. Services for Dwayne Jensen will be today at 11 o'clock at the Anita United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Michael Young, age 61, of Harlan, died Monday at his home. A memorial service for Michael Young will be today at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Patricia Brownsberger, age 68, of Atlantic, died Monday in Cedar Rapids. Funeral services for Pat Brownsberger will be held today at 1:30 at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Michael Mick Denning, age 86, of Avoca, died Wednesday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Mick Denning will be held Saturday at 10 o'clock at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Randall Lauritsen, age 48, of rural Exira, died Monday. Funeral services for Randall Lauritsen will be held Saturday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Mert Adams Johnson, age 90, formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Services for Mert Johnson will be held Saturday at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mark Heckman Sr., age 65, of Cumberland, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Celebration of life services for Mark Heckman Sr. will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at the Cumberland Community Building. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has the arrangements. Glendora Lumpkin, age 89, of Oakland, died Thursday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Glendora Lumpkin will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 at the Silver Creek United Methodist Church in Hancock. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Eugene Hansen, age 79, of Exira, died Wednesday at Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Eugene Hansen are pending at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. And Steve Nelson, age 71, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Jacob Healthcare Center in San Diego. Services for Steve Nelson are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.